Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation. It's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Welcome to episode 109, Defund Amateur Nation. Fans first, as always. A special shout out to Rachel Sibicow in Toluca Lake, California, who says she pleasures herself to this show. No, I'm kidding. I know she's laughing right now. She's a friend of mine who I wish I had spent more time with when I was in Los Angeles, but I will say the pandemic and phony shutdowns did get us talking more. She's actually very much a go, very fit woman who is currently laid up with not one, but two hip replacements. So it's killing her not to exercise and moving around like she normally does, but now she's blessed to hear this podcast since she has to take it slow for a bit. So welcome to the show, Rachel, and from everyone on the staff here at Amateur Nation, we wish you a speedy recovery. Also want to say hi to Keith Jillian of J&K Printing and his wife Mary in Canton, Ohio. I absolutely appreciate the support. Please download my book. It's only $5. You're going to laugh your ass off. It's nothing but common sense. You're going to go yes many times when you read it. You can download it on Amazon. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. Email me with whatever's on your mind, lou@lucianti.com. Now you can find me on Gab, and soon Rumble, and now the podcast platform Deezer, because there aren't enough podcast platforms. And I would never waste your time asking you to donate money to this show. But I do ask that you spread the gospel, please. Just copy and share any posts that I put on Instagram or Facebook that you might like. If you just want to start a post of your own saying, hey, if there's this great new podcast that I listen to, it's right up your alley, I think you'll like it, please share it. That's all I'm asking. Email, text your friends if you think they're pro enough to listen and enjoy Amateur Nation. Let's get to it. Topic number one. Here's a headline and sentence I never thought I would read. Coca-Cola facing backlash says Be Less White learning plan was about workplace inclusion. From countless news sources, but having picked one at random, here's the story from mainstream media. Newsweek. By the way, wrap your head around the idea of any other race being told to be less whatever color they are. Let that sink in. Also, by the way, white isn't a race. You can be French and be of white color. You can be from South Africa and be white. You can be black in color and be French. So is Coke really asking its employees to be less white or be less American? Or worst of all, be less white American? If any company told its employees, hey, be less black, and I don't mean a big corporation, Joe's Pizza Shop, you got three employees, you tell one of your employees, be less whatever color or race they are. Holy hell. Is that not why we have civil rights attorneys? If you as a small business owner told any of your employees, hey, be less whatever you are. I don't even have to ask this as a question. You know the catastrophic backlash and lawsuits and canceling that would happen to your company. I will never accept the utter nonsense that racism only goes from white outward. If anyone is denied the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of an oversugared soft drink simply due to the color of their skin or race, it's racism. If you're denied education, a loan, a job, advancement in your job only because of your race, regardless of your color or race, that's racism. You amateurs have been arguing on social media, no one is telling white people they can't buy their products. Oh, so you can impugn a race, or in this case, a skin color, but you will also happily take the money from that group of people. Got it. It's time that Coke gets canceled. Canceled. Done. You had a good run since 1886, but hey, What do they say? It's like it takes you a whole lifetime or a career to build yourself up. All it takes is one stupid mistake to end it. Why should they be exempt? People are getting canceled, having their lives ruined because of a tweet. This is something that is corporate-wide, that is known worldwide, and no one's saying shit? No, no, no. Don't shit on my cupcake and call it frosting. So yeah, time to cancel Coke. I say boycott their products, and I actually rarely drink pop. Yes, I said pop. I can say it freely now, without persecution, now that I'm back in Ohio. When I was in California, every time I said pop, all the heads would turn. But I usually only have like a Diet Coke with pizza. It's more of a palate thing. It's not, I don't really keep soft drinks, sodas, whatever, in the house. But I'll have a Diet Coke with pizza or the rare time that I eat fast food. But if you want to boycott Coca-Cola products, good luck, because Coca-Cola has a product portfolio of more than 3,500 beverages made up of 500 brands, spanning from sodas to energy drinks to soy-based drinks. Okay, back to the article. Here we go. It's in Newsweek. And Coca-Cola facing mounting backlash from conservatives online. Okay, first of all, forget conservative or liberal, whatever. How about backlash from the entire planet that has common sense? Forget about your race, your height, your weight, your sexual preferences, your religion, your heritage. It's common sense not to tell people to be less whatever. That's horrific. That's embarrassingly evil, and I use that word exactly right. The article goes on to say, Coca-Cola, facing mounting backlash from conservatives online, has responded to allegations of anti-white rhetoric after an internal whistleblower leaked screenshots of diversity training materials that encourages staff to, quote, try to be less white. By the way, to that whistleblower, that's pro. That's someone who's got a sack. All right, the article says, on Friday, Carolyn Borisenko, I hope I'm saying her name correctly, an activist who supports banning critical race theory, shared images from an internal whistleblower of the company's online racism training. By the way, why is it any company's job to have racism training? Goodyear, Coke, anyone. Right? How about if you see one of your employees acting poorly against another employee due to their race, fire them. Done. And now you didn't spend countless dollars with pointless and insulting and, yes, illegal training, and you didn't waste anyone's time who has common sense. If you act like a racist at your job, you should be fired. That sends a message. That is being pro. And handling your shit, and handling your stuff in your own backyard. Anyway, the article goes on to say the slides included tips to learners on how to be, quote, less white, less arrogant, less certain, less defensive, less ignorant, and more humble. So this means that, by definition, white people are arrogant, confident for some fucking reason, defensive, and ignorant, and not humble. Wow. Wow. So I guess that means all the other races are the opposite. They're the good versions of those qualities. We're the only bad race. There are no other races that are arrogant, overly confident, defensive, and ignorant. It's just the white folks. Just us crackers. Okay, so I'm going to go hit the tanning bed and now become a doormat for people. I'm going to be a dark sheep. A black sheep. There you go. The article goes on to say, in the U.S. and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white, one of the slides read. Research shows that by age 3 to 4, children understand that it is better to be white. No, no, no. No, I call bullshit. Research showed that. Please name the source. And even if I have the source, I need to see how this research was conducted. The article goes on. A Coca-Cola spokesperson confirmed that the course is, quote, part of a learning plan to help build an inclusive workplace. To help build an inclusive workplace. Help build? Are you telling me you've been around since 1886 and you're just now getting around to building an inclusive workplace? And by the way, learning plan, i.e. propaganda programming initiative. Call it what it is. It is a propaganda programming initiative. The article says, but they also noted that the, quote, video circulating on social media is from a publicly available LinkedIn learning series and is not a focus of our company's curriculum. Can't have it both ways, guys. Can't have it both ways. Either it's part of your building an inclusive workplace, a learning plan, but you can't say it's not the focus of your company's curriculum. Why are we hearing about this now if it's not the focus, huh? I always thought the focus of a food company was be safe, taste good, be affordable. There you go. Hey, we're going to manufacture some food of some kind, whether it's canned vegetables or Diet Coke. Is it safe? Okay. How's it taste? Pretty good. Okay. Any nutritional value? Some, not, but at least we're transparent about it. They can read the label. Can I afford it? Yeah. That's it. You're not in the racism business. Let the people handle their own shit. If they act like amateurs, fire them. The same way Goodyear needs to just focus on making fucking tires and stop worrying about MAGA hats in the factory. Coke, just stick to giving the country diabetes with your sugary products. Diabetes is listed as one of the 7 common health concerns black people should monitor. New Diet Coke, now with more irony. The article says our Better Together Global Learning Curriculum, Jesus, just make some fucking pop, is part of a learning plan to help build an inclusive workplace, the spokesperson said in the statement. Hey, I found a new word that I can add to the list of words that we're really sick of. Inclusion. Because minorities were banned from working at Coca-Cola and or using their products before this, right? Now we can all enjoy it. Unless you're white, commence flogging yourself. Political commentator Candace Owens railed against Coca-Cola and urged employees to file lawsuits against the company. She said if a corporate company sent around a training kit instructing black people how to be less black, the world would implode and lawsuits would follow. What did I just say, right? I genuinely hope these employees sue Coca-Cola for blatant racism and discrimination. Man, you can bet your ass if I worked there, I would. I wish I was working there because I'm like, time to back up the Brinks truck. Common sense, amateurs, you got nothing. If you're still standing on racism as a one-way street, you already proved the concept of racism and that you are the racist. How would you like to be the marketing and or PR person for Coke right now, huh? It's the most recognized logo on the planet, for the most part, has had decades of uninterrupted goodwill, and now in one fell swoop, the marketing and PR team has to finally earn their money. Here's some fun facts about Coke. Coca-Cola's $35.1 billion in revenue makes it the 84th largest economy in the world. Economy, just ahead of Costa Rica. The Coca-Cola brand is worth an estimated $74 billion, more than Budweiser, Pepsi, Starbucks, and Red Bull combined. Coca-Cola spends more money on advertising than Microsoft and Apple combined. So now, folks, it's time to start checking labels. I'm already being diligent about checking labels marked made in China. You can add Coca-Cola Bottling Company to that list. Here are some slogans, Coca-Cola slogans, it has used since 1886. Now, there have been several dozen slogans for Coca-Cola since 1886, but I picked some of the ones that stood out, maybe some of the ones that I actually remember growing up. But let's go all the way back to 1906. Their slogan at the time was called the Great National Temperance Beverage. Coke, the Great National Temperance Beverage. For those of you who are wondering, temperance means moderation in action, thought, or feeling. Insert irony here. In 1922, Coca-Cola's slogan was, thirst knows no season, but it does know race. In 1948, the slogan was, where there's Coke, there's hospitality, except for Whitey. All right, so now let's head to the modern era. And while this was, of course, before my time, I do remember seeing it on billboards and signs. In 1963, things go better with Coke. As long as that thing ain't white. In 1969, their slogan was, it's the real thing. The real racist thing. In 1971, their slogan was, I'd like to buy the world a Coke. The world except for the crackers. In 1976, their slogan was, Coke adds life and subtracts free thinking. In 1979, their slogan was, have a Coke and a smile. Easy, not so confident there, Whitey. 1982, Coke is it. Coke was it. 1985, we've got a taste for you. You know, that's 1985. I don't remember that slogan. We've got a taste for you. Everyone except for the white people. 1989, official soft drink of summer and communism. 2003, Coca-Cola. Real. That was it. That was their slogan. Coca-Cola, ellipses, dot, dot, dot. Real. Yeah, real dumb. The marketing people came up with that? Coca-Cola, real. Jeez, I'm in the wrong business. I mean, that is the laziest shit ever. 2005, their slogan was, make it real. I already thought it was real. 2003, it was real. Now we got to make it real. 2009, their slogan was, open happiness, close mind. Topic number two. From the New York Post, your inane, surreal headline, Disney slaps the Muppet Show with offensive content disclaimer. Okay, before we get into the article, did we forget the Muppets are direct descendants from Sesame Street? The show that preached and taught and showed diversity, equality, good manners, good social skills, education, friendliness, neighborliness, and all things that are good and pure? The article says, anyone who streams The Muppet Show on Disney Plus will see a disclaimer first, warning of offensive content. Disney released 5 seasons of the iconic show for streaming on Friday, allowing viewers to enjoy watching Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, and their celebrity guests as part of its $6.99 a month service. Gotta miss television when it was free. Everything's fucking a la carte now. Never mind the fact that, you know, I got to pick a way to get television. Okay, now I got my television. How do I want to get programs? Do I want to stream? Do I want to do satellite? Do I want to do cable? Do I want to do through my PS4? Do I want to do YouTube TV? Once you get that, okay, so now which package do I want to buy? I had $3 here, $7 here. Next thing you know, your TV bill's $200 a month. And then when you get it, it's labeled offensive for fucking Sesame Street and the Muppets. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. It's fucking stupid and ridiculous. The disclaimer shown prior to each episode warns viewers that the show features, quote, stereotypes and, quote, mistreatment of people or cultures. I mean, if you never saw The Muppet Show, you think you're going to watch a snuff film. The article says, this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. By the way, here's my favorite shitting on my cupcake and calling it frosting moment. The disclaimer says, rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. The disclaimer said, translation, we have dumped a fuck ton of money into purchasing the rights for the Muppets. By the way, if it was so horrible, then why did you buy it? Yeah, you know why, because it's a moneymaker and it's good, wholesome family entertainment. But now we're stuck, so we'll happily take your money while you watch it and then judge you for watching it and fast forward through the idiotic disclaimer. Why is it so hard to stand up to this amateur nonsense? What, you're worried about Amateur Nation boycotting your brand? Why would it be so hard for Disney to go, no, we're not doing this. This is stupid. All right, so let's play this out the other way. Suppose Disney Plus did not put a disclaimer there, but the woke amateur morons threw a fit. Here's what would happen. Okay, this is exactly what would happen. Amateurs would pitch a fit, and because they're weak-minded and weak-willed sheep, would soon relent and then watch it anyway, because they, like most people, need entertainment. They need a Diet Coke every now and then, and they need to see the Muppets because they're awesome. The best part is, up until those idiotic amateurs come around begging for some more Muppet love, the pros in the world, in the meantime, would be more likely to support companies that stand for common sense and traditional family values and institutions, and can understand that the past is the past, we have learned from it, that's not who we are now, and it's still good entertainment. So let me get this straight. We could remove statues, thereby erasing history, but we don't erase the so-called offensive entertainment because we have to learn from it. Topic number three. File this under bad ideas that will surely backfire from Reason.com. Here's your headline. California bill would give $1,000 fines to retailers with separate girls and boys toy sections. Yeah, this is an urgent need. You know, not, I don't know, getting all these bars and restaurants their money back for fucking them over for the last year, or getting the homelessness in California out of there, cleaning up the streets, the pollution, the urine and the feces all over the streets. Yeah, let's worry about this. The proposed bill from Assembly members Evan Lowe and Christiana Garcia would require stores to have one unisex section for children's products and apparel. Okay, before I get started here, no, I don't have any children, but yes, I can weigh in on this because it has something to do with common sense, and I do have that. Before you knee-jerk amateur start with the, why are you so afraid of trans people, or why don't you like them, or why don't you think boys and girls can't shop for toys and clothes together, why don't you think they should have the same rights, commence shutting up. I have said countless times on this show, I don't care who anyone has sex with or what their sexuality is, as long as it's consensual between two adults. I've also said I don't understand why people care about who other people are having sex with or their sexuality. But this is not about that. 0.42%. 0.42% of the United States population identifies as trans. Less than half of 1%. And of course, they're people. They deserve the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they seem to be doing everything they can to make it seem like they are an entirely different race or species. They are not. And that they're like half of the population. Of course, that does not mean they should not have the same rights and opportunities as non-trans people. Retail stores in most of California are only allowed to operate at 25% capacity. Unless you're a big box chain, then, you know, go nuts. The article says a new bill in the state legislature would ensure that whatever part of their shop is allowed to be open is as inclusive as possible. Sick of that fucking word inclusive yet? The article says last week, amateur assembly members Evan Lowe and Christina Garcia, I think I called her Christiana, I apologize, introduced a bill that would require retailers to offer their toys and childcare products in a gender-neutral format. Okay, again, California is literally burning. Go to Street People of Los Angeles on Instagram, and you will see post after post after post of encampment fires. Statewide, homelessness is the worst in any country all time, but especially in California. Also, bars and restaurants continue to struggle. And this is what a priority is for the amateur politicians. This is what this is, okay? Exactly. You ready? Let's just say your house is a mess. The roof needs to be replaced. The foundation is cracked. There's no heat. And you decide, you know what? I'll vacuum. This is busy work and a distraction from their inability to not solve the real problems facing California. Brick and mortar shops, the article says, brick and mortar shops would have to display the majority of their products and clothing aimed at children in one undivided unisex area on the sales floor. Meanwhile, we got to sit at restaurants with plexiglass between us. But you know what? Throw everyone in the mix when it comes to going for school clothes shopping and toys. The article says they'd also be barred from putting up signage that would indicate whether a product was intended for a boy or a girl. Oh, again, ain't gonna change anything. A parent with a son or a daughter will determine, I want my son or daughter playing with that. I don't want him or her playing with that. That's up to the parents. The states, the government, get the fuck out of our business. Get out of our house. Get out of our lives. For consideration, why is this the state government's job to even worry about this? Who said that was their job? What minuscule amount of amateurs were complaining? And even if it's 1,000 people complaining, which we all know as sure as hell it was not, what will this every toy and apparel for kids mixed together do? It won't convert a child to the other team, so to speak, nor will it confirm their, much too young to worry about it, sexuality. It will make shopping impossible and longer for parents. California-based retailers that sell children's... I'm sorry, I'm going back to the article. California-based retailers that sell children's products online would also have to have a page on their website that offers these products in a general, neutral fashion. The bill would allow retailers to title that section of their website Kids, Unisex, or Gender Neutral. What, not inclusive? The bill is nearly identical to one that Lowe introduced last year, telling Politico at the time that he was hoping to create a more inclusive shopping experience. Let's put a jar at the White House and everyone kicks in a dollar every time we have to hear or say the word inclusive, and mask and social distancing. Budget fixed in a fucking day. The article says, this is an issue of children being able to express themselves without bias, he said. No, it's not. Kids, first of all, don't express shit because they ain't paying for shit. I didn't pay for my own clothes till I was, what, 16, 18? I don't know. I mean, overall, I mean, the occasional item here and there, but The article says, if passed, stores that did put dresses in a separate girls section could be hit with a $1,000 civil fine. Yeah. Yeah, do that. Meanwhile, it's literally not against the law to drive without a license in California. Meaning illegal immigrants could just drive around, cause problems, no license, off you go. Insulting. The policy would only apply to retail department stores with over 500 employees. Oh, well, that's a relief. Actually, this might be a good thing for the small boutique mom-and-pop clothing or toy retailer since they're small. Oh, wait, never mind. They've all been driven out of business. Amateurs, if you can't see that this hasn't been strategized for some time, you're blind and stupider than we pros tell people. The article says even without mandates, some retailers have been moving away from gendered in-store promotion. In 2015, Target announced that it would get rid of separate sections for bedding and toys. All right, so I just moved into my new place here in Ohio, right? And I had to go to a Target down the street here. I needed shower curtains and shower curtain rings. And I asked the girl, I'd never been to that store before, so I asked the woman at the front, I'm like, excuse me, I need shower curtains and shower curtain rings, things like that. And she's like, down here, go to the left, take a right, do this, whatever. And it used to be you would see a sign, bedding or bath. Nope. In the effort to be inclusive, I got the shower curtains next to the hammers, next to the diapers. Thanks, everybody. But here it comes. The article says the bill would appear to disadvantage brick-and-mortar stores versus online retailers. Shocker. But it's those same brick-and-mortar retailers that have been hammered by the pandemic and related lockdown restrictions. Having to spend more complying with new regulations is the last thing many need. Right? They've been through enough shit. They're trying to hold their own against Amazon, who is, let's face it, we're going to have one store. Everything's going to come from them. It's Taco Bell in the movie Wesley Snipes' Demolition Man. These poor businesses have been jerked around for so long, and these rules don't affect online shopping, right? They're doing everything they can to shut down capitalism, and you can't see it. Well, they have a right to do it. No, they don't. And that's not the businesses even doing it. The government's making them do it. Wake up. Admit you were wrong. You voted for the wrong people. On the local, state, and national level, you fucked it up. You voted with your feelings, and now we're all having to take a bite out of this shit sandwich. They, and yes, you know who they are, just don't want small businesses to succeed or even do business. They want one marketplace, Amazon. That is the plan, make no mistake. You'd have to be nuts to want to start a store or a restaurant right now. And that's a shame because that's a noble calling. You decide, you know what, I want to make food and make people happy. By definition, food it makes people happy. And if you're opening your own little mom-and-pop restaurant, there's that sense of community and family and you're independent. It shows character. You want to start something from nothing. It's charitable. And they don't want any of it. They don't want that. They want one store, one airline, one bank, so you have zero choice. Government run everything. The plan is moving quickly, pros. Time now for some quickies. You know, the other day I heard the famous song Jack and Diane from John Cougar Mellencamp, and a great song. It's a classic pop rock song. The part where he says, sucking on chili dogs outside the Tasty Freeze. All right, no. No one does that. No one sucks on a chili dog. Okay? You know, he just as easily could have written chewing on chili dogs, munching on chili dogs, chomping on chili dogs. You even got alliteration there. When you say sucking on chili dog, that's a deliberate choice. Fail. Hey, what'd you and Diane do last night? Nothing much. Just went to Tasty Freeze. Sucked on some chili dogs. Wait, I'm sorry, what? You know, we just hung out at the Tasty Freeze. No. I heard what you said. You said sucking on chili dogs. That's some kind of weird sex thing. No, we just had a couple Cokes and ate some chili dog. You know what? Then just say that, John. All right, I don't get it. All right, there's fat-free milk, 1% fat milk, and 2% fat milk. What are we doing here? Hey, you want some milk? I don't know. What do you got? I got fat-free. Gross! All right, fine. Here's 2%. What are you trying to do, kill me? You got 1%? You know what? Get out of my house. I went to a Chinese takeout place the other day. Why is it only Asian restaurants display overhead photos of the food? It's always like, Are you using Google Earth to photograph the menu? It's always this aerial shot like an airplane flew overhead and took some reconnaissance photos. I don't know what I want. Well, perhaps these satellite photos will help. I notice Mark Zuckerberg has been chiming in about DNA and RNA. Hey, you know what? Just invent the like button, you moron. God, if only that girl would have gone out with him when he was in college instead of creating a website based out of frustration and revenge, this whole world would have been a lot better. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Here's your headline. Ty Gibbs wins Xfinity Daytona Road Course race in first series start. Ty Gibbs. Now, how do I know that name? Who is he? He's the grandson of three-time Super Bowl winning NFL coach Joe Gibbs, and Joe Gibbs is the team owner of Joe Gibbs Racing in NASCAR. Well, his 18-year-old grandson ran his very first race and won. And no box of crackers were found in his garage denoting racism. Number two. The Cleveland Crunch professional indoor soccer team. I've mentioned that I gave up on the big three sports, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and NBA, due to, pick one, politics, social causes, corruption, communist China interference, sponsorship issues, privileged athletes not standing for the national anthem, drug abuse, spouse abuse, cheating, sucking, and generally draining me of my time while making me dislike the players and what they stand for, which is why I love the NHRA and Formula One. The NHRA is fans first, and Formula One is so exclusive. In a world sport. It's exclusive, not inclusive. Only 22 men in the world can do it. But I've always been a soccer fan, and while Cleveland does have one title in the NBA when LeBron still understood what America has given him, the Cleveland Crunch professional indoor soccer team won three titles in 1994, 96, and 99, and the league had folded and come back and then folded again. Well, thanks to all the reasons I mentioned that I left the big three, combined with outrageous ticket prices and little fan engagement and accessibility, which is another reason why I love the NHRA, they adore their fans and constantly let them know, the return of affordable family fun returns to Cleveland recently on Friday, February 27th. It's a great roster of mostly Cleveland-born and or raised players, all with great playing pedigrees, and I, yours truly, am the stadium announcer and halftime show MC for the team. Check off another did that too on my announcing slash entertainment resume. I'm thrilled to be part of what can be a great shot in the arm for the city of Cleveland and professional indoor soccer. And by the way, they won their first preseason game 12-4. That team is good. Number three. Rehab Addict on DIY Network. I'm a huge home rehab show fan. I'm fascinated by interior design and architecture. But many home improvement shows are corny, or it's about the remodelers and their quirks, or the home buyers bickering or acting stupid or doing some cockamamie challenge. And worse, most of those home improvement shows are an hour long because of all the rehashes and the backpedaling after every commercial break. A lot of these home improvement shows could be a half hour, but they do give you a cliffhanger, they go to commercial, and then they backtrack a full 3 minutes showing you the cliffhanger again. Here's why Rehab Addict gets my vote in no particular order. All right, except for this first one, the host, Nicole Curtis. But yes, she's a scrappy remodeler from Detroit. She's a single mom who not only knows how to restore old homes, it's not so much she's making them fancy and ultra modern, she's restoring old homes. She's actually taking on homes that many people would simply bulldoze and abandon. And two, she does it on a budget that the average person probably could afford. Number two reason, it's a half hour. If a project takes longer, they spread it out over many episodes. And number three, little, if any, corny nonsense. Yeah, there's some playfulness because the hosts should enjoy their work, right? Rehab Addict on DIY Network. You won't be sorry. All right, pros, if you have a topic or if you read or saw something or something happened to you that was amateur related, or if you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com. Download my book from Amazon, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, and subscribe to my YouTube page. And you can hear the podcast on 14 different podcast platforms. That's because Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. See you next week.